Welcome, everybody, and welcome Hahnemann Lab. We're very excited. This is actually the first time that we've had the members of a homeopathic pharmacy to join us to actually share a little bit about how the whole process of preparing a homeopathic remedy is actually done. So we're particularly excited, and I'm particularly excited because I've been using Hahnemann Lab products now for almost 20 years, and I first began to use their products because when I was first starting as a homeopath, I remember there were questions about which pharmacy to use, which was the most reliable, which one had the best quality remedies. And I can't remember exactly who it was, but I believe it was maybe Roger Morrison or maybe even Bill Gray, who was basically publicizing that the remedies that were coming from Hahnemann Pharmacy were much more reliable and actually produced because of the quality of the remedies, they were actually producing more intense aggravations because they were actually much better prepared because of the potentizing method. And I remember switching over from some of the other pharmacies that I was using at the time to the Hahnemann Lab remedies, and I noticed really a dramatic improvement in my own practice. And actually, there were a number of cases where there were remedies that I was very confident about that I had prescribed that hadn't worked, and it was like one of those cases where you're just absolutely sure of the remedy and you give it and it doesn't work and you're not really sure why it didn't work. And then I switched over to using one of the Hahnemann Lab remedies, and lo and behold, the remedy worked beautifully. So since then, I've been an advocate and loyal follower of the use of their remedies. So again, I'm very excited to have them on the line today. Let me go ahead and introduce who's going to be joining us for the tonight's teleconference call. We've got on the line the Vice President and Production Manager of Hahnemann Labs. Her name is Helga Alessio, and please correct me if I don't pronounce the name correctly, Helga Alessio. And then we also have on the phone with us the Chief Pharmacist. Her name is Sonia Sikaski. So
oh, yes.
Let me just...
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
So let me just give both of them a quick introduction. Helga, actually, interestingly enough, got involved in homeopathy through a personal experience. She was having some problems with her young child who was quite sick, and she had heard about the homeopathy as a form of medical treatment without side effects, and she ended up giving the remedy mercury. You can imagine for a young mother, the idea of giving mercury to your infant child is quite scary, but she went ahead and did it. And lo and behold, she had this miracle response, and her child was completely cured. And this really generated in her an interest to get involved in homeopathy. And in 1987, she got officially involved with Michael Quinn. Michael Quinn was the founder of Hahnemann Labs. Unfortunately, Michael, who was a friend of mine, passed away a number of years ago, but his legacy has been continued on through his wife, April. And Helga now is in her 24th year of service to Hahnemann Labs, and again, she's the Vice President, Production Manager, and Safety Officer. The other person who will be joining us on the call today is the Chief Pharmacist. Her name is Sonia Sikaski, and she was hired by Hahnemann Pharmacy in 2006. She's done an extensive amount of study for additional knowledge in homeopathic philosophy. She actually enrolled at the Institute of Classical Homeopathy in San Francisco for 1 year. That gives you a sense of her dedication to really understanding how these remedies work, not just from a perspective of a pharmacy, but even on the philosophical point of view. And she basically is involved in all different kinds of aspects, organizing the stock, training the pharmacy staff, quality management systems, and lots of research. So again, we're very excited to have both Helga and Sonia to join us today. Thank you, both of you. I know you're very busy with running Hahnemann Labs. We really appreciate you having us join us.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Kim.
Oh, my pleasure. So let me just also mention before I start the interview that Hahnemann Labs is going to be attending the joint annual homeopathic conference in Alexandria, Virginia. This is, if you haven't heard about it yet, I'm sure you have, well worth attending. It's going to be by far and away the biggest homeopathic conference of the year. They'll be there with a booth, and they've actually sponsored the Dr. Professor Vitolkas's webcast there. So that's very exciting. They've helped to bring Professor Vitolkas to the JHC conference, and they will have their Quinn dispensing kit on site with over 240 top remedies and different potencies, and also their clinically proven trauma care product, which is a basically high potency arnica in a blister package format, and that's also going to be available there as well. So again, thank you so much, both of you. I thought perhaps we could start by you could share us a little bit with us about what's actually required, what are the steps involved in actually manufacturing a homeopathic remedy.
That is actually quite involved. We are very scientific in our approach, and we need to be because we are governed by the FDA, the Federal Drug Administration, since we are a pharmaceutical manufacturer, and we also governed by the California branch of the FDA, which is the FDB. And in addition, Sonia's part of the operation, the pharmacy, is governed by the Pharmacy Board. So we have to adhere to some very strict regulations. So the reason why we actually became a laboratory and not just a pharmacy was that Michael Quinn felt that he wanted to be able to sell our products all across the country and internationally as well. And if he wanted to do that, we could not just retain a small pharmacy, but we had to become a bigger organization. So that's what we did, which required writing a lot of procedures that we would adhere to consistently. So in other words, when we make a remedy, we always make it the exact same way. And we have to prove that by having documentation all the way from the incoming door to when it goes out to the practitioner or to the client. So what we need to do is whenever material comes in the door, we need to log everything in and quarantine anything that will touch the remedy. So in other words, we're talking about glass vials, we're talking about corks, pellets, even alcohol. The reason for that is, for instance, that we use 95% ethyl alcohol, but there's another kind of alcohol that you cannot tell by just smelling, which is actually very toxic to the patient. So if you produce anything in a liquid and we would have the wrong kind of alcohol, it could be very detrimental to someone's health. So for that reason, we actually have to conduct testing on the materials. Some of those materials we send out to a different vendor who is then able to conduct an identity and a percentage test, for instance, on the alcohol to make sure that it actually is 95% alcohol. That is very, very crucial for our dilutions of the homeopathic remedies because if there is less or more moisture involved in the alcohol, then we'd have to have a different dilution ratio between the original material and the final product. So all our documentation will also be proven by quality assurance, so whatever comes back as a result will then have to be either accepted or rejected, and that is Sonia's role as a pharmacist. She's trained in chemistry, and she can sign off on those documents. That's very important. We can't just have anybody do that. We also conduct identity tests. Some are very simple in-house when the pellets come in. These are 80% sucrose, 20% lactose pellets. We will, believe it or not, pour some ammonia onto those, and the white sugar pellets turn bright red, which is an identity test that there's actually sucrose and lactose in this component. All that has to be written up. You know, there are very involved procedures, and they are followed step by step. We have fume hoods just like any other lab. We have a setup, a clean room-like setup. So we have separation between the different operations that we conduct. The reason for that is Michael Quinn wanted to produce the ultimate purity and efficiency with those remedies. And to do that, we really have to separate certain operations so nothing can cross-contaminate. So we have actually installed vents, for instance, that vent each and every remedy in its separate chamber, and it gets vented right out to the roof. It does not mix up with our general ventilation system. So some of those things are required by the FDA just for general manufacturing, pharmaceutical manufacturing. Other things are in-house procedures that were actually even stricter than the FDA requires. Some of them, for instance, are protecting the remedy from electromagnetic fields, and I can go into that a little bit later. So what steps are required for manufacturing the homeopathic remedy? There are different kinds of dilutions. Some materials are actually completely soluble, whereas others are not. So if we make something that's, for instance, an animal blood that comes to us, there are some components in it that cannot be diluted just in distilled water or alcohol, so we conduct a trituration. That means that we use 99% parts of lactose and one part of the original material, and we triturate that in a bowl with a mortar and pestle, actually the old-fashioned way. And that is part of what we do according to the Hahnemannian method, and everything is written up in the homeopathic pharmacopoeia, which governs our way of operation as well. What else is required in manufacturing the homeopathic remedy? Everything has to be traceable. So from the incoming warehouse all the way through the manufacturing to the patient or to the people who are practitioners, we have to be able to have a whole line of events that is documented. So in other words, it's the testing of the original material, it's the identity, where it comes from, who tested it, it's the dilution on the potentizing machine that Michael Quinn himself developed, it's the medication onto the pellets, it is the microbiological testing that everything is actually clean when it goes out the door. And so we do involve a lot of different thresholds where we do checking of the medication. And this is, again, something that we have installed at our facility that goes beyond the FDA regulations. We actually employ a witnessing system, which means there's always a second person present when a component is transferred into another bottle. And that person is actually signing for it in addition to the medicator, for instance. So we have a witnessing program that keeps us from mixing up anything. We only produce classical homeopathy. That means one remedy at a time, no cross-contamination, no mixing of components. It's all this one classical remedy. And so you know exactly what you have in that vial. And Kim, I wanted to refer to your comment earlier. You have found that some of the remedies have worked so much better for you. And that is because of our quality control and our rigidity that, you know, we separate the functions in the facility and we're very strict about that. We don't have any scents that come in. You know, nobody can wear perfume. We have everybody shut off their cell phone when they come in. Even the FDA inspector today had to shut off her cell phone because we actually tried.
I hope that didn't jeopardize your situation with the Food and Drug Administration.
No. She came in. We had a big sign that asked to please shut off your cell phone, and she said, "I'm adhering to regulations," you know, and that was really good to hear.
That's great.
Yes. And so we try to have a clean product that goes beyond what we are required to do. And Michael was an incredible visionary in that way. He saw this electromagnetic contamination coming way ahead of his time. And so, for instance, when we produce a remedy, we use compressed air that feeds the facility, that feeds the machines that make the remedy. So if we have something going on the potentizer, it means that, you know, there's a minimal electrical field that's almost not measurable at all. And that's what we guarantee, and that's one of the reasons why we have no contamination, you know, in the product and why we have such integrity in our product.
Fantastic.
All right.
Did you want to go on? Did you have more you wanted to say about that, or...?
Well, one more thing which has to do with the traceability of the components. I want to just let you know, when you look at the vial that you have received from us, there is a barcode on there, which means that it's a very unique batch that complies with everything, and, you know, we can trace it back. If you have any problem with any of our products, you can tell us what that number was, and we trace it back for you. You know, if you found anything in there that you thought shouldn't be in there, or it would have a smell that you would not want to smell in there, you can report all that to us, and we document it, we trace it back, and we try to remedy the situation, so to speak.
That's great. You know, I don't know if your Hahnemann Lab still does this, but I remember many years ago, one of my highlights, actually, in my involvement in homeopathy was I actually got to do a tour. This is, I don't know how many years ago, 18, 15, 17 years, a long, long time ago. I actually got to do a tour of your facility, and it was one of the things that really convinced me about the quality of your products, because, as you mentioned, you know, you have these tubes that suck up, you know, all the atmosphere around the area where the remedy is being prepared to make sure that there's no cross-contamination. I'm curious, are those tours available on any any level still, or what's going on?
Yes, absolutely. We have what's called an open door policy. We just request that people call us a day ahead at least. But really, anybody could come in anytime who's a customer, you know, and can see our operation. I usually personally conduct the tours, you know, and so you're welcome anytime. And we actually encourage homeopaths to come by so they can see the level that we go to, or the level we take all this operation to, that we can supply you with this kind of medication. And Kim, I wanted to mention, you know, we have had practitioners come here that say, you know, I'm from the Midwest, and homeopathy is really almost an equivalent to witchcraft there still. And she was so relieved to see what we're doing, because she could see the way we go about this very scientifically and, you know, step by step, and actually that the FDA takes us seriously. That's what this means, you know, that we have actually inspections. That means they do really see homeopathy as something that is reckoned with. So that is the beacon that Michael had in mind when he opened a lab, that we actually at some point would be equivalent to allopathic medicine.
Fantastic. You know, one of the questions that I have is, you know, today there's many new remedies that are being introduced into our Materia Medica, and people all the time have ideas for new remedies. What's the actual process how does that actually happen, that something, you know, does somebody have to write to you and say, you know, can you prove, you know, tiger's tooth or lion's blood? Or, I mean, what is the actual process that actually has to happen? And then how is it that you get the original source substance to prepare the remedy from?
Sonia Sikorski will answer that question, because she gets these requests often, and so I will refer the answer to her.
Okay. Great question, Kim. So it was kind of a two-part question there. The first would be, the homeopathic pharmacopoeia has outlined how to prove a remedy. And so that's where I would refer the first part of that question. They've got some very specific guidelines on how to conduct a proving. We simply create the remedy here. Usually it's sourced by the customer or the homeopath themselves, but we do need third-party verification. For instance, I just made a tincture out of the trout lily, the Latin name, I'm going to butcher this one, Erythenum umbilicum. And this woman had dug it up North Carolina, I believe, and I apologize if I have that wrong and she's listening to this program. She waited for it to blossom, because a tincture needs to be made from the entire plant when it's flowering. She brought the samples to, it was Chapel Hill, North Carolina, to the university. She had it identified by a botanist. He wrote a statement of identity. We're then able to make it, to manufacture it here at the laboratory when it's gone through that process. That's our part of our quality control. So with that statement of identification, we can truly sell it, knowing that it is what we call it. And this is a big deal in homeopathy. Sometimes years later, someone will call up and say, I don't think that was exactly the trout lily. I think that was, the trout lily subspecies. I don't know. I can't even give an example. But to have that third-party verification, I feel really sets us apart. It's so necessary, though, as more and more remedies get added to the Materia Medica. Some people even feel that remedies made from two different samples of the same substance and exactly the same substance are going to be two totally different remedies. So it's very important to have these distinguishing features identified by a professional in the field.
And I'd like to add to that, Kim, on that homeopaths have gotten so much more sophisticated in their prescribing. We used to make remedies we would just call something like monkey blood, you know, very general. And I mean, there are, you know, hundreds of kinds of monkeys out there, or dinosaur tooth, you know. But, yeah, it's so much more specific. And we have really learned in those over 25 years that the company has been operating now to get more specific and really get down to the genus, the species, and all that, to be as specific as we can be. Because as a homeopath, you will experience that, you know, if you have, for instance, two different kinds of dinosaur teeth, they might have a completely different proving, and they might respond to completely different symptoms. So we try to really serve the community, and we try to serve what it emerges to be, because I really see there is a huge growth in the homeopathic community amongst the homeopaths that I have seen since I've been here for those almost, well, more than 24 years now. And I would like to support that. So, and at the same time, we want to support custom remedies. We want to support homeopaths that have a vision, and they determine that something that does not even exist yet as a remedy needs to be made for that person. And to tell you the truth, it beats me how they come up with that. But, you know, nevertheless, my task is to manufacture something here in a responsible way. And so we are here to do that. And if we can support it in any way, we will.
And now may be a good time, Kim, just to point out, partly because Helga has used the example of blood remedies two times now. No, this is obtained in responsible ways. We would never harm an animal. This is actually a big issue of concern for us, not just for us, but our customers too. For instance, I know that we did receive, I believe it was feathers and perhaps blood from a bird sanctuary here in Marin County, and it was a rescue bird, and it had already been drawn for medical purposes and then was offered to our laboratory. So that's just one example. Otherwise, we do source some of our remedies from overseas, such as Helios in Ainsworth. We feel that they have really respectable remedies too. So just to make that point clear for your listeners today.
Fantastic. Well, Sonia, I'm glad to hear that you're not traveling over to Africa subduing wild animals to get these remedies. No, but that's, you know, that it sounds really very interesting. Sonia, you mentioned something that I thought I could just touch upon quickly, which is that when you prepare the remedy from a plant, you prepare the original source substance from the plant, the whole plant, when it's flowering. And I've seen in the literature, I think mostly that is how these plants are actually prepared, the mother tincture is actually generated. I'm curious, is that always the case, or there are sometimes cases where you'll use maybe just the root or the leaf or maybe the plant when it's not flowering? Can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. Actually, I'm going to hand this one over to Helga because this has actually occurred sometime recently.
Yes, so. Yes. There had been a request for hellebore at some point for a very sick child that had epileptic seizures, and the homeopath wanted the hellebore made, and it was not flowering at that point. So the plant was sent to us, and we made it from the leaves, the stem, the root system, but we don't have a flower yet. So we actually trying to grow that and make it again. But the interesting part was this remedy worked extremely well for that child. So, you know, but we will not sell it to the general public because our general prescription, how to make remedies, is to make them when they are in their full bloom, you know, with all their juices, all their powers that they have at that moment. So that's why we would not sell it, you know, to the general public. So we have our restrictions, but there are certainly emergencies, and we are definitely adaptable to that, but with restrictions.
Interesting. You mentioned a little bit about the mixing up of remedies and making sure, you know, because I know that, you know, the tinctures above 6C are clear liquids and the pellets are basically all white. And I think this is a very important issue because we're all concerned that when we give calcium, we're actually giving calcium, or when we give lachesis, you know, we're not giving silica instead. So could you maybe just touch upon that a little bit more? Because I think it's a very important issue, and I know that you put a lot of emphasis and attention on making sure that what you're selling is actually what's put on that label.
Yes, I can certainly speak to that. We only keep one item on the table whenever we do anything, and we have the label there. So the label is first with the name, and, you know, everything else is second. So we can't mix anything up. That is an in-house regulation. And it's also an in-house regulation that you heard here to have only one item on the table. Then we also have our air venting system arranged in a way that the air is taken up from the remedy. So we have HEPA filters, and the air is always moving up and outwards from the remedy that's being produced. So in other words, nothing can come into that airstream that is open. So we can only have one remedy open at the time. Whenever we manufacture everything, for instance, when we put anything on the potentizer machine, that's only the one thing is in that room, and it has a HEPA filter, and we don't even produce a second item in that room on the same day. We are that strict with it. So we can definitely assure anybody who is out there that they're getting what this is labeled as, and Michael has emphasized this so much, you know, to me and to others here, that this is the way it's done and no other way. And I stand for Michael's practices, and that is definitely a threshold I will not cross, because we have been asked before to mix things up, and we just don't do that. We just want to make sure that this is the classical method, so the classical homeopaths out there have what they're asking for. And Michael himself was appalled. He visited some other manufacturer. This was probably 20 years ago, and he was in Europe, and he saw that there were different remedies just in paper bags sitting on the same table, drying one next to another. And that's why he came back from there and he said, I am not doing it this way. We're going to devise a system where everything is in its separate chamber with this negative airflow away from the remedy. And that's what he has done. And that's I'm very proud of that. And I do want to, you know, continue doing this, because it's just a quality that you don't get everywhere, and that's what we stand for, and that's why, you know, our prices are sometimes higher. But those are the reasons, because we employ a second witness all the way along this way, so nobody can mix anything up. Plus, there's one rule that Michael emphasized. It's when in doubt, throw out, and right. We definitely adhere to that. Doesn't matter what it costs. It just goes out and down the drain if it's not clear or in doubt that, you know, we did not make the dilution right. So right. That's what we do.
Yeah. And maybe it'd be a good time to speak about the training. When we train new employees, it's a long process. It takes months and months and months of double-checking their work, of, you know, standing over. Well, we should have an employee in here to speak of this. It's perhaps not even that pleasant, but, you know, we're so strict on these regulations that I feel like they would probably be a funny voice right now. If they could hear us saying this, they'd be rolling their eyes because they know it all by heart.
Yeah. Well, I can attest to that. I was working at the pharmacy at the time for 3 years, Kim, and Michael would not let me in the other remedies. And he had a homeopath at the time making actually the preparations. And then eventually he trusted me enough, you know, but it took that long to gain his trust. And I respect him for that, because he just needed to know exactly if I have enough sense of detail and, you know, I'm responsible enough, and it just takes a while to get to know a person at that depth level, you know, to really trust them. And so I feel honored that he finally let me do that.
Me too.
You know, I wanted to ask a little bit about the machine that you use, because, you know, as everybody knows, and everyone's fully aware, you know, when we first started off making these remedies, you know, you know, Hahnemann recommends that you take it and you pound it against the book, and you know, a certain number of times you succuss it, and then you dilute, and then you do the same thing, hitting it against the book. And it was at least my impression in the early years that one of the reasons that your remedies seemed to act more deeply and were stronger was that you had a very specific, and I don't know if it's patented or not, but a particular type of equipment that was quite powerful in terms of the way it was actually succussing the remedies. So could you tell us a little bit about that equipment and how you use it?
Yes. This is called the potentizer. And how this is actually engineered is according to Michael's specification. Actually, his own arm was measured, and his fist, and the impact that his fist had onto that book after the dilution, when the succussion is happening, and he would specify that to an engineer. We had an engineer from NASA actually design this machine, so it would do exactly what he wanted, because he knew that the remedies he had made by hand, according to Hahnemann's method, would work just right. And so he developed this potentizer exactly that same way. So we do have, we use glass. We don't use, you know, plastic or anything else when we manufacture. And we still use cork, just like Hahnemann did just 200 years ago. And we still do that. There might be more modern methods or materials, but Michael's vision was to adhere to what Hahnemann did, so that's what we do, and what Korsakoff did with his machine as well. So we have a machine that actually holds onto a glass vial with an iron clamp, and it will pound the remedy. And we have a double distiller that will then, you know, shoot a certain measured amount of double distilled water into the vial and creates the exact 1:100 dilution. That's how that basically works.
Interesting. Now, you prepare both the C potencies and the Q potencies, and do you also prepare X potencies as well?
We do not sell anything below 6C, actually, only if there's a prescription from a doctor, and that is actually in adherence to the homeopathic pharmacopoeia. A lot of remedies should not be sold in such a low dilution, even 2X or 3X. I have to refer to Michael, our founder. He made it clear that we only wanted to sell 6C and up, which is a liability question, because this way we know the C stands for 1:100 dilution. So a 6C is done 6 times, a 1:100 dilution. So if you do your math, you will see that, you know, there is no molecule left in that. There's basically the imprint of the original material, and there is a crystal formation that happens, but that's what you get. So there could not be a toxic effect at that point.
Helga, I'll just correct you. It's a 12C and beyond that there's absolutely no chance, according to Avogadro's number, if you started with an entire mole as your starting, your 1C dilution, so in your very first dilution, which we would never start with that much material.
Right.
I mean, generally we start with 1 gram. So the 6C and above, there's really absolutely no chance of someone ever getting material dose. But a 12C and above is a super conservative take on that. And actually, many of our remedies start at a 12C. Some remedies even start at an 18C. So it's, we're being very safe here. You could take your entire bottle and you would not have, you know, one molecule. So that allows us to sell things like monkey's blood.
I'm curious, I know you prepare both the Q potencies and the C potencies. Do you use different types of equipment, or is it the same equipment, or are there different areas of your facility that prepare the Q versus the C potencies?
Well, we are outfitted to do, you know, both. If it's going up quite a ways, we'd want to use the potentizer for the C potencies. Otherwise, we can use, you know, the hand method of just pounding it out. It takes longer, but we do this in the pharmacy for a couple steps. The LMs, or the Q potencies, we do this mostly in the pharmacy for the higher potencies. Sometimes they're started in the laboratory, but we'll continue to compound them up, you know, from a 5 to a 6 to a 7 to an 8. This is done in the pharmacy for the most part.
I know that I called you right before we started this interview, and you mentioned that the FDA was down there doing some inspections, and I'm sure that that's adds a little bit of stress to your regular work day. I'm curious, what's actually involved for what is an FDA-regulated pharmaceutical manufacturing facility? What's involved in being FDA-regulated? What does that actually mean?
Yeah, well, that actually means that we adhere to what's called the Current Good Manufacturing Practice, abbreviated CGMP, and that means everything is regulated that refers to raw materials, refers to the facility, the ventilation system, the cleanliness, the way of manufacturing, the purity of distilled water, you know, on and on. So, and they will actually check all of those items when they are here. And this time they're doing what they call an abbreviated inspection, and it actually is 4 days. So they are here 4 full days, and they're looking at our documentation, you know, of all these items. So that's what we're dealing with. But, you know, Kim, it's very stressful, but on the other hand, it's worth it. We get these inspections at an average of every 2 years, and it's worth it in that way that if we want to propel homeopathy out there and we want to show that we are someone to reckon with, we need to have those certifications because otherwise, if we only were a pharmacy, we would be limited in our sales to California, and you know, that would just not be going far enough. There are homeopaths everywhere, and now you know we're selling internationally too, and we could not do this if we would not not comply with all those regulations. So we need to undertake it, you know. And it's the same, believe it or not, for an allopathic facility.
Right.
So we actually at that level already, yes. They have to adhere to the same policies and procedures that the FDA prescribes. So here we are. I'd rather talk to you.
Helga, you mentioned the state of California. Does the actual state of California have different requirements that govern pharmaceutical manufacturing facilities?
I have so far not discovered any difference. Unfortunately, the two agencies do not talk to one another. So right now we have the federal agent here to do the investigation. It's just a routine. And we had the California agency here in June of 2009, yeah, or July. So basically we might be done with this inspector by the end of the week, and the next inspector could stand at our doorstep. These are always surprise visits, so we are not informed ahead of the time, except after Michael's death, we were informed by the California FDB that they would come by, and it's for good reasons. They wanted to make sure that we are able to continue this facility in a way that we have before, and we still adhere to everything. So I certainly can see their reasoning, and I can appreciate that. And also we have April Ayer here today, who is our president of Hahnemann Labs. April Ayer has been Michael Quinn's wife, and so she is also a trained nurse. And so we have a really good person at the helm now who is very has her attention on the details, very detail-oriented, and is a very good leadership. So I'm pleased to work with April, and I'm so glad she took over the responsibility and the great risk that a facility has to shoulder nowadays, because, you know, there are lots of finances involved here as well, and she is carrying the liability on. And she decided to actually take Michael's legacy on and go for it. So I'm so glad we could continue, and we're doing it all in the same way how it was done by Michael.
It really was a very great loss with Michael's passing. And actually, it's funny because I was actually in the San Francisco airport, and April doesn't remember this, but I was actually on my way someplace, and I met them in the airport, and Michael and I have known each other for many years, and I said, and we just walked into each other. I said, Michael, oh, hey, and he introduced me to April briefly because they were quickly on their way. I think they were actually going to Hawaii, and it was just shortly before his passing, and then I got to meet April afterwards. And I just wanted to mention, you know, I was actually in Fiji about 18 months ago, and I was on this remote island there that had experienced some tremendous devastation from a hurricane, a cyclone that had come through the area. And, you know, the Fijian village was really decimated, and, you know, all the farming there was really affected in a very dramatic way. I mean, I was there for 6 weeks, and I could never eat there was no coconuts or pineapples or bananas on the whole island because all the fruit trees had been essentially knocked down. And you can imagine what that means for the indigenous population there. And I actually called April, and she was generous enough to make this huge donation of a big kit of remedies, and I just wanted to acknowledge that because it was very, very generous on the part of Hahnemann Labs, and I know that the people on the island there, the Fijian population and the local community there, are really very much benefiting from the donation of those remedies. The reason I'm mentioning this is because I thought perhaps you could just speak a little bit about the way that your remedies are actually sold. I mean, I know you can buy individual remedies, but I know you have other ways that people can purchase remedies. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, we can. Yeah, certainly. We do have also kits that we provide. We have professional kits that are reserved only for the homeopath, for the licensed homeopath, because they are in higher potencies, and we actually specialize in higher potencies. disease. We find that that makes a huge difference in prescribing when homeopaths use our high potency. So we have kits, 200C potency kits. We have 1M kits. We have combinations, 200-1M kits. We even have a 10M potency kit. So, you know, those are not available to the general public. And also we sell... We have the Quinn dispensing kit, which is more of a lease agreement, and this is only available to a flourishing practice of an experienced homeopath. There are 240 remedies in there in 3 to 4 different potencies according to whatever we have manufactured. So the homeopath has at his or her fingertips the remedies that they want to prescribe right there and then. And sometimes that can be important if they are practicing in a place where it's hard to ship things, or they want to just give things right the same day if it's a first aid kind of situation. So and we have many of those kits out there. I think it's roughly 120 right now. So it's like a miniature pharmacy that is at their fingertips. You know, there is definitely a down payment involved here because we want to see a serious commitment, and you know, we want to make sure that people are actually selling. So it's also economic to us because it's roughly a $10,000 inventory that we're putting in people's hands.
Wow. Either Sonia or Helga, if people want more information about your remedies or your kits or anything, where would they go to get that information?
They could go to our website, which is HahnemannLabs.com. You can get there another way. It's a little bit shorter. Never mind. April's saying no, no, no. also, give us a call. We're happy to explain our products to anyone. We have a pretty friendly phone staff, and they're pretty willing. Phone number 888-427-6422. Is that right?
And the website URL was, again, can you just say the website URL one more time?
Sure. HahnemannLaboratories.com. Oh, I'm sorry. HahnemannLabs.com.
Hahnemann Labs. So HahnemannLabs.com. Okay, great. So I'd like to open it up and let some other people ask some questions, but I'm going to give you one more question, which is, and I hate to put you on the spot like this, but I think it's an important question, and that is, and you can just be as honest as you want here. What do you feel distinguishes and separates Hahnemann Labs from some of the other labs that are out there that people are purchasing remedies from? What do you feel really sets you apart? What is it that's unique about your company and your products that people should be aware of?
Well, we all take platinum metallicum. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
So that makes you a little bit haughty, huh?
No, I think Helga spoke very well that we take all these regulations very seriously. We train our employees for long periods of time. Many and most of us use homeopathy, not on a daily basis, but as our first, you know, medicinal choice. I think that has a huge impact on at least employee relations, but also on health and attitude. Plus, this is a fun place to work. We do really exciting things together as a workforce. We celebrate birthdays. We celebrate holidays.
We celebrate life.
We celebrate life, exactly.
And
<health.
laughs> yes.
And Helga, maybe you can add something to
yes.
that.
Yes, and, you know, also on a more serious level, I had mentioned some of those things before. That we limit electromagnetic fields around the remedies, I think, is one of our major assets. That we used compressed air to actually generate the power for all those machines that have anything to do with remedy manufacturing, and that we have a strong control of cross-contamination. I believe those are actually our strengths, you know, that are very marketable and that often set us apart from other manufacturers. And our witnessing program, where a second person is always there. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
And of course, you know, the potentizer that Michael developed himself, that seems to be a machine that has been working very well and has produced, what you mentioned before, very deeply acting remedies that also hold up for a long, extended period of time. We have gotten feedback from the homeopathic community. We've heard sometimes that the remedies have worked for a whole year, and we're really proud to hear that, you know, that people can actually have a chance at healing.
Yeah, I mean, I can honestly say that my own personal experience, it wasn't even the remedies would oftentimes act for longer and for longer periods of time and more deeply, but sometimes the remedy from another pharmacy might not work at all, and then I would give your remedy and it would work beautifully. And so and I didn't know the reasons why at the time, because this is going back almost 20 years ago, but I knew there was something very different about the remedies I was getting from you and the remedies I was getting from many of the other pharmacies. And since then, I simply, you know, people ask me, they say, well, what pharmacy do you use? And I know there's other good pharmacies out there. You mentioned Ainsworth and Helios. I know there's other good pharmacies out there, but I have just been completely committed to Hahnemann Labs for, you know, for the reasons that you mentioned, for the fact that I've actually gone down and seen your facility. I've had the opportunity to actually witness firsthand the incredible level of technology and attention to detail that goes into the manufacturing process down there. And so, yeah, I've been a loyal customer ever since. And I think if you try these remedies, for the people who are on the call who are listening to it on the recording, you'll see why I'm saying what I'm saying. Let me go ahead now and open up the lines, and perhaps some people have some questions. We don't have too much time left, but there might be a few questions here. So anybody has any questions for either Sonia or Helga?
I do.
Actually, I do.
Go ahead, please.
I wanted to know, in the practitioner's office where you have wireless networks for the computers, is there any special precautions we should make for our remedy cupboard?
What's your name, by the way, the person who's asking the question?
This is Vicki from Idaho.
Okay, Vicki, good.
Vicki, the one response that I can give you here, we do not use anything that would have a long-distance
radio
effect,
frequency.
Radio frequency. We just don't. And so my strongest recommendation actually to you is to not use that in your office, because you could certainly contaminate not only your environment, but, you know, also the remedies. But at the same time, I want to say people, practitioners like Dr. Bill Gray, for instance, has taken his homeopathic remedy kit many times, even through the X-ray machine, at the airports, and, you know, he travels frequently, and so does Dr. Morrison. They take our remedies with them, and they have not seen any effect in diminishing the potency of the remedies. So in a way, we're talking about homeopathic lore here. We're talking about a precaution. So, you know, because there has not been any research done on it, I cannot really give you a well-founded scientific answer.
Okay. Good question, though.
Oh, huh?
All right. Other questions? Thank you, Vicki. Other questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead. What's your name, please?
My name is Ahmed, speaking from Las Vegas.
Okay, Ahmed, go ahead.
Yes. By any chance, Hahnemann Lab still has the original lactases from Constantine Herring?
Oh, I wish. I'm not sure which pharmacy might have this. We have it, I believe our lowest potency might be a 6C. My guess is that it's going to be from Helios, but I'd have to run downstairs and look in the stock drawer.
It's a good, interesting question. Is that prepared from the one that the original venom that Herring, you know, because this is proven in 1828, so we're talking whatever, 183 years ago. Are they still preparing lactases, as far as you know, from the same venom, or have there been new extractions of the Surucucu that they're preparing the remedy from? Do you guys know that?
Kim, you've just nailed the heart of my big challenge as a pharmacist, to find out exactly where these remedies are coming from. Unfortunately, I'm not sure that I could ever really answer that question with confidence. And, you know, I could ask around to the other manufacturers, which it seems like we might have got this remedy from, but they probably don't know, or they might not be in business anymore. Some of these old remedies, you know, when the company owner dies or a big giant in homeopathy dies, they take so much with them. A lot of this is, you know, it's oral tradition. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, but we will make a point in putting the name of the manufacturer on there if it's other than Quinn. So, you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting question because there's even some remedies that we don't really even know what they are. Like, you take calcium, for example, and it's probably some type of potassium hydroxide, but
right.
We're not really sure exactly what it is. And
right.
So how can you ever really replicate it in the future? We know the remedies work. We know Lachesis works. We know calcium works. But, sometimes you don't even know, what it is. So how can you – if it gets lost, you're kind of unable to reproduce it almost.
Right. Well, the one positive thing in homeopathy is that you can take a 5C, and from a 5C, you could probably produce 100 bottles of 6C.
Right.
So, or more if you change your dilution ratio. So, yes, things dry up, but usually not completely. It's very challenging not being able to answer these questions specifically. It really is my biggest challenge. So.
Yeah. No, it's a good question, and I'm glad. I appreciate your candor about it. I don't think anybody can really answer these questions adequately. It's something we all have to basically contend with. But thank you for that question, Amit. It's a good question.
Right. Wait a minute. I wanted to make one point about that, please, Kim, if I may. The one thing is that's why we actually have a pharmacy on site, and that's why we are paying a pharmacist's wages. And this is actually a locked facility. Nobody can access unless there's a pharmacist in there. The reason for that is that a pharmacy is able to do compounding. So their records don't have to be quite as specific as a lab record where we have to be able to backtrace everything. So in other words, we could not make that causticum again from that original material, or, we can't. But the pharmacy can make it from whatever they have. And so, in a way here, because we don't want to sit between the chairs, we want to supply to the homeopaths what they need, we still have a pharmacy on site that can do these things.
Fantastic. Other questions?
I have a question.
Please, what's your name?
This is Gail. Gail Easton.
Oh, Gail. Go ahead.
And I wanted to hear a little bit more about the machine. I'm very curious. As I understand, it's using a Korsakoff process.
Yes.
And actually, it's emptying the vial every time. So if you get a CM from Hahnemann Labs, it's been emptied by the machine 100,000 times.
Yes, I can answer to that. The potentizer does apply the Korsakovian method. What that means is, as opposed to the Hahnemannian method, Hahnemann has used one vial per potency, whereas the Korsakovian method uses the same vial for the potency, and that's why we can use the machine. So, but everything is extremely well calibrated. So, in other words, when the vial turns upside down and empties out, we measure what is left in the vial. There is basically a film still left from the remedy in the vial, and then the vial inverts itself again, and then we shoot some more of the double distilled water in it. So all that is extremely finely calibrated, and we have to validate that to the FDA, to make sure that we have the exact right dilution. So in other words, we're not just shooting in the dark here. We really try to be as scientific as we can, so you actually have that 10M, when you get it, so you don't have a 1M and you're paying the price for a 10M. Does that answer your question?
But I'd like to know also, how many times does the machine succuss? And this is just curiosity, but how long does it take to make a CM?
Okay. We succuss every potency 20 times, and we have to invert the vial, believe it or not, 27 times to get enough out of that vial from that film, so we still have the 1 to 100 dilution. But we actually do not manufacture any more CMs because we want to make sure we conserve the machine. So we only make 10Ms at this point. The 10M would actually be, that means it's a 10,000 times the dilution of a 1 to 100, 10,000 times. And that takes us roughly, five whole working days to produce. At least. It could be more, because sometimes there's maintenance in between, or the machine breaks down, something overheats, things like that. We always grapple with that. So we usually say it's about 2 weeks till we're able to actually supply that.
Wow. Other questions? We still have a few minutes left.
I have a question.
Go ahead. What's your name first?
This is Paulette from Missouri.
Hi, Paulette.
Hi. She just said something about conserving the machine. Are you saying that if anything should happen to the machine, that's the end of the pharmacy?
Oh, we make sure that it is not. We actually have two potentizers right now, and we actually working on reestablishing the print of the machine so we can replicate it when time comes. That is very difficult, but we will make it happen. So, you know, we want this to go on, you know, forever, so to speak, and we're working on that, yes. So we don't have a problem with the machines right now. They run really well, so I don't foresee anything big in the future at all. But, you know, we want to make sure that we can keep doing this.
I've been a customer of yours for many years, and I would hate to lose that.
Oh, thank you.
We want to be here for generations to come.
Yeah, we need you guys. Good. We still have a couple of minutes. Any other questions anybody would like to ask?
I have a question.
Go ahead, please. What's your name?
I'm Ahmed again, actually.
Oh, go ahead, Ahmed. Yeah?
Yes. Are Hahnemann Labs doing any hiring these days?
Hiring.
You know, we have actually hired everybody we need at the point. We even hired an engineer lately to make sure that we could deal with our machines, you know. So we always hired according to our needs, of course. So, you know, these things happen. Sometimes, you know, somebody moves somewhere else and we have to replace them. At the moment, we have the situation saturated, but, you know, that could certainly happen. And so just approach us if you feel like you have the qualifications, you know, you heard everything that I talked about, and if you have the attention to detail, that might just happen.
So I guess your remedy has to be in the rubric mind fastidious to get hired at Hahnemann Labs.
Really, really so true.
It is true.
You almost have to be a perfectionist to be able to
do
this.
You have to have some obsession compulsion going on.
So my thoughts, persistent, my fastidious. So if you find you just cross those rubrics and that's your remedy, you can apply for a job in the future with Hahnemann Labs. Okay, I see that we're basically out of time. I just wanted to basically acknowledge Michael Quinn's vision for the creation of such an amazing pharmacy and really providing for the homeopathic community products that we can rely upon and that really produce deep acting effects in our patients, because that's really how homeopathy is going to grow, is when we can give a remedy with full confidence and then we can see the transformation of a patient's life into greater health and vibrancy. And as it says in the ninth aphorism of the Organon, we help these people to reach the lofty goal of human existence. So this was Michael's vision, and, you know, certainly come by, go to their website, give them a call on the phone. Go down and visit their lab if you have an opportunity to do so. You'll be absolutely blown away. And go and visit their booth at the JAHC conference in Alexandria, Virginia. And, you know, they're very lovely people. They'll be willing to answer your questions and give you all the information that you need. And I'd really like to also acknowledge April for her generosity. She made a huge contribution to this devastated island in Fiji, and she's really carrying on Michael's legacy and his vision for the future of this laboratory and its commitment to help promote good homeopathy. So thank you again, April and Helga and Sonia. We really appreciate your time. And if everyone on the call can give these three lovely ladies a big thank you, I think it will be just wonderful. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.